Dear Heavenly Father, how we praise you today. Truly, we do rejoice in you and everything about you and ask you to communicate powerfully your word of truth to us, your listening people. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Probably my greatest discovery, personally, from our Genesis study thus far. Studying God's creative work is powerful and inspiring, but I don't know that I have discovered anything really new or so compelling that it has risen in my mind in great significance. And I was already completely sold out on the importance of understanding sin's entrance into our world through the disobedience of Adam and Eve and the implications for our lives today. Foundational truth. But the truth that has captured my attention is the introduction of human choice in good and evil as the new worldwide standard for ethics and morality. Free thinking that in reality is a prison of thought that disallows people from seeing past themselves to the truth of God. Wisdom that makes a person a fool creates empty thinking and darkens hearts. The new standard says, no God allowed. Now you knew this, and I knew this, and we know that the new standard is really the old standard, but we probably have not realized the extent to which it has filled our society and our world. A standard is the accepted norm, an idea or thing used as a measure or model in comparative evaluations, something considered by an authority or by general consent as a basis of comparison, an approved model, those morals, habits, etc., established by authority, custom, or an individual as acceptable. Authorized or approved. Something that is very good and that is used to make judgments about the quality of other things. Widely recognized or employed as a model of authority or excellence, a standard. In eating from the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, Adam and Eve set into motion this new worldwide standard for ethics and morality. They now would know themselves apart from God, they thought, the standard for good and evil. God no longer is the only one with the voice of wisdom. Now we decide. That is the standard in our world today, a new sheriff in town. The mother of all criteria is believe whatever you want, as long as it includes the holy grail of complete acceptance for everyone, and no judgment for anyone. With some, it is believe whatever you want, just don't believe God. And if you believe in God, demand that he accept whatever you offer to him. This is what Cain did. If you turn your Bibles to Genesis chapter 4, verse 1. Genesis chapter 4, verse 1, and just a personal note, I'm telling you, Genesis is a wild ride. Things that we have looked at and for years and we've had in our mind certain concepts and evaluations, and when you actually study the text, and I study some of these things and I'm thinking, how do I share this? It's there, it's true, but it is a wild ride. The births of Cain and Abel brought hope to a fallen and displaced family. 4 verse 1, now Adam knew, had sex. Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. And yes, Ruth, I'm glad. Debbie's got Ella downstairs.
You and me both.
And again, she bore his brother Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of the sheep, and Cain, a worker of the ground. We have to allow God to bring some perspective in here. God created the heavens and the earth, and he did that in 6 days, and he rested on the seventh day. And it was literal. They were literal days that he created this earth, and he showed his majesty, his magnificence, his glory in creation. And he said it was good, good, good. It was very good. It was beauty, creativity beyond what our minds can probably comprehend, this earth. We look at it now, we see the beauty and the majesty of God. We see the glory of the Lord fills the earth, even now in its fallen state. So what must it have looked like then? And God created Adam. And then from Adam, from the dust of the ground, he took a rib out and he created Eve. Now, it's interesting, and one of the commentators brought this out, that God also, it seems, allowed a longing for Adam to build up in him. Because if you're in the text, Adam went through the process of naming all of the animals. And he came to the end of that, and what did he come to? It's like, but there was no one suitable for him. Well, God had a plan, and God took Adam, fell asleep, and God put him to sleep, rather, took a rib, made Eve, and presented Eve to him. And here they had this beautiful man, this absolutely beautiful woman, no sin stains, no headaches before going to bed that night, no baggage, no dysfunction. And he placed them in the Garden of Eden, God's garden, and they had a time of bliss. They joined together. Now, and they shared this for a time, and we're going to get into that time in a little bit. I'm trying to figure out how I'm going to approach this. And then the serpent came and tempted them, and they fell. And then darkness not only fell on the Garden of Eden, but on the whole world. And we've looked at how global devastation and death came through. If you want to put a finger to blame on the shootings in Dallas and the war in Syria and the displacement of those people, the refugee, whatever it is, it's the sin entered this world through Adam. Romans 5 tells us that everyone born to Adam and Eve was born into sin. So we have to picture then Adam and Eve, and they had it all. It was utopia beyond our belief. And then you have to picture, I probably have been removed from somewhere, I don't know, but if you've ever been removed, but they were forcibly sent out. God drove them out of the garden then. And he placed this powerful supernatural being with a flaming sword to keep them from re-entering and eating of the tree of life. So you can kind of think things weren't exactly on the upside for Adam and Eve. But now we're going to have a moment of hope. Now, Adam knew his wife Eve, and she conceived and bore Cain, saying, I have gotten a man with the help of the Lord. Eve exulted. There is hope here. We don't know all the things that have gone on. We don't know what God has communicated to Adam and Eve in this interim. He's there. We know that. We know that there was some type of system of worship, because we know, we're going to read in a little bit, that Cain brought an offering to God and Abel brought an offering to God. But this brought hope. And then his younger brother, Abel, was born. And again, she bore his brother, Abel. Now, Abel was a keeper of sheep, and Cain, a worker of the ground. The births of Cain and Abel brought hope to a fallen and displaced family. Cain and Abel both were sinful at birth. But Abel came to faith, while Cain was of the evil one. And we do have that. We know that from the account of what happened here. We know that from the New Testament commentary on Cain and Abel. Now, verse 3 of Genesis 4. Okay, now do this. Okay? Can you get a couple of you just fasten your seatbelt? Here's where the ride gets pretty wild. Okay? And you're going to have to listen carefully. And if I need to, I'll set up crisis counseling throughout the week. It is pretty wild. I'm trying to bring a little bit of humor into this, but there are things that our minds just never conceived before. It says, in the course of time. In the course of time, because see, things that we don't really think of before, and there's Sunday school stories, or we go through, and these aren't things that are going to be changing our doctrines or anything like that, but we do have to rethink these things in the course of time. Now, you've got a sheet, and I've given some of these, and there's so much more material, but on the inside of the outside cover, you've got a lot of the facts of what's going on through here. And I'm just going to jump right into it. And because I went in and I had that one section, and I told Carrie, I said, well, would you read this? And she read it. And if I kind of sum up what she, after she got done reading, she was like, oh boy. I said, well, that's just background. And she said, oh no, that won't just be background. But that's why I took it to her. See, it's very possible that Cain and Abel were almost as old as Adam at this time in the course of time. Now, the first date that we have, if you look at Genesis chapter 5, not date, but the first solid number that we have, in Genesis 5 and verse 3, it said, when Adam had lived 130 years, he fathered a son in his own likeness after his image and named him Seth. Now, we already knew Seth was born from chapter 4. The reason I went here right now, it says, when Adam had lived 130 years. Okay, did you fasten your seatbelt? It's very possible that Cain and Abel were both almost 130 years old too at this time, in the course of time. We have in our mind that Adam and Eve, and please understand, I'm not trying to go out and find something and to get a reaction or to throw some new stuff out there. It's just what is here when you think through it and you do the research. And I'll follow through, so if you'll bear with me, that the commentators I read, the research I did, there's one, and you've got his article, a good part of his article in your study notes. He believes that Adam and Eve could only have probably been in the Garden of Eden before their sin, a month at the tops. Now, he's not saying that is it, and those, because you can get, but what you'll hear is like, well, it couldn't have been more than a year. Now, you have to remember, Adam was made as a man. Okay, so you're saying, how, Dave, can you say, because we have this picture that Adam and Eve enjoyed paradise for all this time, don't we? Really, I did. Maybe you guys were more on the ball than I was. How can we say that it could have been that brief a period of time? Okay, well, here's how we can say that. The normal human reproductive functions of a perfectly healthy man and woman, and a command to be fruitful and multiply. Are you following what I'm saying? The movie tonight that we're going to watch, again, just excellent. You should come and see it. But there's one part. This guy's witnessing to this girl, and the girl says something like this, says, why is God so, and again, I'm really glad Ella's downstairs. The woman, the gal, the young gal says to the guy, says, why is God so against sex? And the young guy, who's a Christian, who's witnessing to her, he said, are you kidding? He said, he created two perfect people, and he put them naked in the middle of this garden. That's what happened. When God presented Eve to Adam, didn't have nothing on. Okay, you've got people who've done research on the reproductive, the system, and I'll get in over my head real quick if I start talking all that. But a healthy man and a healthy woman, like I said, there wasn't, oh, I've got a headache tonight, Adam. And no, because there was no dysfunction, no baggage. Two imperfect people still in their innocence. It could not have taken very long for Eve to get pregnant. Are you with me so far? Okay, you say, well, why then it has to be such a short period of time? Because we know from Scripture that every person born to Adam and Eve, it's called the Adamic line, was born in sin, Romans 5. So there could have been no children born to Adam and Eve before the fall. Didn't I tell you the Bible's a wild ride? Genesis is a wild, and I thought, oh my goodness, I'm glad we didn't have, you don't have eggs or tomatoes to throw or... It's the reason we say this, but then there's other factors we're going to look into because, you know, we're going to see Cain's white-hot anger against God, and we're going to look at the reasons. But we're going to see later in chapter 4 where Cain left and he went to the land of, who just remembers that because it's kind of different sounding, to the land of Nod. Like some of you nod off, well, it was the land, like some of you go to the land of Nod when I'm preaching. And it says there, and he knew his wife. There was already another society. There were people, they had obeyed God. The be fruitful and multiply command. It was, I think we see it again, I believe Genesis 9:1. I've got the reference if you need that. It did not stop after the fall. So God takes a perfect man, beautiful, handsome, extraordinary man. God's God put a man together. This is who God put together was Adam. He said, I'm going to make a woman for that man, and this is the perfect woman. Wow! And he put them together naked in a garden. So what do you think happened? It happened, and someone would say, well, it could have waited a while, you know, because sometimes, later on, they'll say, well, such and such, but he wasn't 40 or 50 or 60 until he started having children. Well, that's a different era. That's a different era. There's before the Garden of Eden, there's the Garden of Eden, and there's after the Garden of Eden. You've noticed I keep entitling our messages, our post-Eden world. Well, in this world, everything's perfect. I can't say it was this time or it was that time. But in the course of events as God has designed them, and He, and this is something that really, and I'm glad because I don't know if this would have registered because I was kind of overwhelmed with the other stuff, but like one after the other said, they were commanded to be fruitful and multiply, and that wasn't talking about planting more apple and peach trees. Fill the earth is the language. So Adam and Eve were going to follow through with God. So it couldn't have been very long. And I agree with the person said that he just couldn't see how they could have been there even up to a year. But again, all these people, because it doesn't state it exactly in Scripture, so we can't say. So what I'm saying is that when Adam was 1 year old, he was a man, and it's very likely when Cain and Abel were born, and Adam was only a year old or less. Wild ride the Bible is, isn't it? But isn't our God, I mean, you know, we wouldn't come up with a story like that, would we? We'd make it much more plausible, but God's God, isn't he? And so that's why that in the course of time. Now, let me go ahead and continue here in our text. Then, in the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Now, what we have to happen then is it's very likely Cain and Abel are over 100 years old. And I was joking about the crisis hotline setting up, but I'm not joking about if any of you needs to call me and talk about this. And I can talk to you about it, and I can point to more research. I can show you the resources. But in the course of time, so everybody was busy obeying God and being fruitful and multiplying over this time. So there should have been a lot of people on the earth at this time. Our impression, see, because unless the Bible states to us specifically, we can't count on the Bible being chronological or sequential, if you follow what I mean. God just says this happened. We see that in the New Testament. You'll have an account of something. It didn't necessarily happen after this unless God said it did. Those stories were given. God gave them in his way, those accounts. They're more than just stories. They're historical accounts. God gave them in his way for his purpose. So we can see this, and this could be sequential, but what we have to understand is there were probably decades in between. In the course of time, Cain brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground. Okay? The thing is in our minds, we just have Cain, and he's this young man, and he just got things together. And now, maybe it's even the first time he's brought this offering. Well, see, the text doesn't say the first time, does it? See, what is more likely is Cain has been doing this for years. That's what's more likely, that he has been doing this for years. He brought to the Lord an offering of the fruit of the ground, and Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat portions, and the Lord had regard for Abel and his offering. But for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. So Cain was very angry, and his face fell. And you know what that very angry is? It's he was white hot. He was steamed. Why? Why was Cain so angry? The Lord said to Cain, "Why are you angry? And why has your face fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted?" What do we learn from that? Cain, his offering, some have, and you very possibly heard that Cain's offering wasn't a blood offering, that has no grounding at all, because I can give you scripture verses, meal offerings, grain offerings, holy to the Lord, all of these things that was brought into the text. It wasn't that, it was all the attitude of the heart. And we're going to see that Abel, he brought the best. He brought the first fruits. Abel was the righteous man. Again, we know that not only from this, but we're going to know that from the New Testament accounts. He was bowed before God. And I don't know why it just all came to a head here, because like I say, it's very possible. We don't know their system of worship, but we know they had one, because here they are in the course of time. Here they're coming. So we don't know what brought it to a head, but we know that Cain's heart was not right. We know from, well, let me just read those to you. In 1 John 3:12, you can turn there if you like. We should not be like Cain, who was of the evil one. See, we know that, and what you'll hear, if you really want to get into the deep stuff there, and there's an Adamic line, because then there's a Cainite line that through the evil one, and then that's why there was rejoicing with Seth, because Abel was the righteous. When he was murdered, God gave them Seth. So now it says, and then people started to call on the name of the Lord. So you have the Cain line and the Seth line. The Cain line was of the evil one. Now, don't misunderstand in that we were all born in sin, but it's those who will bow before God and walk in righteousness and those who will remain defiant. We should not be like Cain, who was the evil one and murdered his brother. And why did he murder him? See, we know why Cain murdered Abel, because his own deeds were evil. It brought an offering. It was a demand. We're going to get into more of that in just a minute. And his brothers were righteous. Jude 11. Woe to them, for they walked in the way of Cain and abandoned themselves for the sake of gain to Balaam's heir. They were greedy and manipulative. They played religion for what they could get. That's the way of Balaam. And they perished in Korah's rebellion. And he was rebellious. So we don't have to guess at those things. We know Cain's attitude. So let's go back now to our Genesis text. Verse 5, for Cain and his offering, he had no regard. He did not look on it with favor. He did not accept it, but he rejected it. He disapproved, so Cain was very angry, and his face fell. You could see it on his countenance, and that can be scary sometimes. You're visiting with someone, and you can see that countenance change, and you see, and it's eerie sometimes, isn't it? Can't it be? It can be eerie. We see so much is reflected of the depths of that person's soul. Sometimes it's the depths of their goodness. Sometimes it's the depths of evil. But his face, in fact, if I understood correctly, that it said, it's in the Hebrew, it says his faces, the parts, fell. And it says he was white hot. Why was he so angry? God asked that. Well, he did not do well. God had given him instruction. And see, this is what we want to do so much today, because we set the standard. And we want to set the standard. I got an atheist group, the Seattle Atheists. And the Seattle Atheists, educational 501c3 organization dedicated to serving the atheist community, blah, 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 strive to promote understanding and respect toward all free thinkers by providing information, creating a sense of fellowship, actively opposing discrimination, and above all, emphasizing reason and critical thinking over supernaturalism. Don't listen to God. Everything is on the natural realm. 1 Corinthians 2:14, Paul writes, the natural man doesn't understand. See, what we're saying is, this is the only realm. One person said, in fact, it was a title of a book or a movie, it said, God doesn't believe in atheists, so they don't exist. If you follow, because atheists say, well, I don't believe in God, God doesn't exist. So the title, they spun it, and they said, since God doesn't believe in atheists, they don't exist. But can you see what is here? The standard. See, this is what I said has spoken to me so much in our Genesis study. Yes, the power and the majesty of creation and God's hand in all of this. And yes, sin entering into the world and how fundamental that is in understanding our salvation. But they took of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. It was both. So now this standard, so when we confront it, with anyone who decides to leave out the supernatural, which is God's word and God's spirit, we see, no, they say, no, we have a standard. This atheist group has a standard. It says here, we strive to practice strong ethics, our concern for humanity's well-being. We believe that science and reason are the best, most reliable ways to understand the world we live in and to meet the challenges that life presents us with. It's a standard. It comes from, they can thank Adam and Eve from eating of the fruit of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, because now we say we have the standard and it's worldwide and you see it everywhere. They say, We believe and propose that the secular worldview should be recognized as a healthy perspective and lifestyle that it is. We do not believe in anything religious, supernatural, superstitious, or mystical. They've set the standard. We say as humans, and it can vary. It can vary, and it does vary in a multitude of ways. But the whole thing is the standard. We set it. God is no longer the only one with a voice of wisdom. Now let's come back in and we can see why Cain then was white hot with anger, because the offering that Abel offered to him, righteous Abel, he brought an offering according to God's standard. His heart was bowed. He listened to God. Cain was a part wayer like so many people are today. Even Christians, we struggle with this at times. We're like the way of Cain, and we want to manipulate, and we can be greedy, and we want God for something. And Cain wanted God for something. Cain had his standard. And that is what he based his offering on. And that's why God rejected it. And he was white hot. And he said, God, who do you think you are? You know who God thinks he is? Somebody tell me. Who does God think he is? He's God. He's God. Let me read something. See if I can find it. I got it here somewhere. Who does God think he is? Uh-oh. There we go. These are from various texts. So who does God say he is? God says, I am God. I am El Shaddai, God all-powerful. I am God Almighty. Walk before me and be blameless. God says, I am El and Elohim. I am God, the God of your father. Do not be afraid. God says, be still and know that I am God. That's not the God that was in Cain's mind when he brought his idea, his standard of acceptance before this holy God. God said, be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the nations. I will be exalted in the earth. I am God and there is no other. I am God and there is none like me. For I am God and not a man, the Holy One in your midst. That's not the God that Cain came before in his mind. It was that God. God, Cain, his idea of God was his demand. His demand. There's a person wrote into Las Vegas Review Journal. He wrote in, at an early age, my mother was taken from me and my family due to an illness. It was a terrible blow for all of us to take. My biggest struggle then and now is my anger. I acknowledge the existence of a higher power, but find it hard to believe in God. Well, because God's not a higher power. God is El Shaddai. God is God Almighty. God is El and Elohim. He is sovereign Lord. He is personal. He is Yahweh. He's not just a higher power. If we're going to just, what can I get from God? And if God plays along and bows to my agenda and works things out for me, then I will worship a God like that. But a God who demands my worship, and see, people miss the sweet spot. People miss the sweet spot. There's nothing like everything being right, not just in your little universe, but in the universe, as you are bowed before God and you see his majesty and his holiness. We challenge God, but we say the words that he's infinite in wisdom and his ways are past finding out, that we couldn't even trace his past. God is so far beyond us. And yet we question him, well, God, why'd you do this? God, why'd you do that? We bow before God. Who is your God? This is going to have to be continued. I thought this might happen. So much background for us to say, so much story. And when I say story, I don't mean story like the liberals mean story, and it's some mythical creation or it's some account to make us feel better. I mean God's account in his holy word. But there's so much backdrop to that. But we needed to understand what was going on. And we can see then the anger toward God in this world and this demand. And when we are in that, you know, Larry Crabb, years ago, he wrote a book, Inside Out. I mean, 30-some years ago. It was excellent, looking inside. And he said, we come to God with this demanding spirit. And that's what Cain did. And God said, I will not bow to your standard. Why are you angry, Cain? If you will do what is right, then you will be accepted. But Cain said, no, you will bow to my standard. You will accept me. And we have that. We have the calling out of, don't judge me. Well, there is a coming judgment. You will be judged. There is a standard of God's glory. You see this movie tonight. It's going to give you a pretty good perspective on that. Probably not at all what you're thinking, but truly on how to deal with people who feel like all Christians do is just judge them, and how this young man wrestles with that to be able to present the truth of God, but not in just pointing a finger. The God you demand, do you demand God to fit your standard? Do you demand God to fit your standard? Or do you bow before the Lord of glory? See, we can demand God, and then it's the God of our minds. And that's not God. Or we can bow before the King of glory, and he will work in us his majesty. See, Abel, Cain was white hot with anger. Abel was righteous. He called him out into the field, and he murdered him, which, again, all the backdrop stuff, that was the first murder on this earth. And a big deal. And then Cain's, you know, he didn't just throw God off because he said, what, you're going to drive me from your presence? I mean, there's so much involved here. But are we bowing before God? Are we, who is our God? What is our standard? Do we come back? We've been going through Sunday school. This is our standard. If it's not in here, it's not our standard. And we want the clearest representation, the most bold, the plainest statements that there are. And we see those things. And we bow before a God who is high and lifted up. And it says he comes to mend the spirit, the broken hearts of the lowly, of the humble. Would you pray with me? Father, help us to this wonderful, wonderful journey. Your word in general, Father, Genesis specifically. Powerful, powerful truth. Your account, the things that you've written down that you want us to know. Help us, Father, to be diligent in our study, to accurately handle this marvelous truth, these wonderful words of life that you've put in our hands. Mostly, Lord, help us to receive them, to allow them to sink deeply in our lives, that we live them out, that the living word of God is living in our lives, and we worship you, majesty. We praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.